वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णे स्वधामोपगते धनमज्ञानादिभिः सह कलौ नष्टदृशाम् एष पुराणार्कोऽधुनोदितः ग्रन्थराज श्रीमद्भागवतम् की जय. दिस् इस् द सिक्स् केण्टो द हिस्ट्री ऑफ द लाइफ ऑफ अजामिल चाप्टर् वन् एण्ड् टुडे वी आर् ऑन् टेक्स्ट् 27. Kindly repeat. Sa evam vartamanah agnyah mrityukale upasthite matim chakar tanaye bale narayana ahvaye. Sa evam vartamanogno मृत्युकाल उपस्थिते मतिं चकारतनये बाले नारायणाह्वये. स एवं वर्तमानोऽज्ञो मृत्युकाल उपस्थिते मतिं चकारतनये बाले नारायणाह्वये. स एवं वर्तमानोऽज्ञो मृत्युकाल उपस्थिते मतिं चकारतनये बाले नारायणाह्वये. स एवं वर्तमानोऽज्ञो मृत्युकाल उपस्थिते मतिं शकारतनये बाले नारायणाह्वये. Yes. Saevam vartamano agnyo bale narayana ahvaye. Ladies. Saevam vartamanogno mrityukala upasthite patim chakarataniye sa that ajamil evam thus vartamanaha living, agnyaha, foolish, mrityukale, when the time of death, upasthite, arrived, matim chakara, concentrated his mind, tanaye, on his son, bale, the child, Narayana Ahoye, whose name was Narayana. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. When the time of death arrived for the foolish Ajamil, he began thinking exclusively of his son Narayana. Please repeat. When the time of death arrived for the foolish Ajamil, he began thinking exclusively of his son Narayana. Purport. In the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, 2.16, Shukdev Goswami says, Etavana Sankhya Yoga Pyam Swadharma Parinishtaya Janmalabha Paraspungsam Ante Narayana Smritihi. The highest perfection of human life, achieved either by complete knowledge of matter and spirit, by acquirement of mystic powers, or by perfect discharge of one's occupational duty, is to remember the personality of Godhead at the end of life. These are the three things that are mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita and are mentioned in general throughout Vedic literature. Sankhya, yoga, and karma. Those are your three options once you have a body. You have to do one of them. And here the Bhagavatam says that no matter which one you do, the ultimate perfection is at the end, you remember Narayana. So we'll continue the purport. Somehow or other, Ajamil consciously or unconsciously chanted the name of Narayana at the time of death, Ante Narayana Smriti. And therefore he became all perfect simply by concentrating his mind on the name of Narayana. It may also be concluded that Ajamil, who was the son of a Brahmana, was accustomed to worshipping Narayana in his youth, because in every Brahmana's house there is worship of the Narayana Shila. This system is still present in India. In a rigid Brahmana's house, there is Narayana Seva, the worship of Narayana. In other words, that's Shalagram Shila. Therefore, although the contaminated Ajamil was calling for his son by concentrating his mind on the holy name of Narayana, he remembered the Narayana he had very faithfully worshipped in his youth. In this regard, Srila Sridhar Swami expressed his verdict as follows. Etatcha tad upalalanadi Sri Narayana namocharana mahatnyena tad bhaktir evabhud iti siddhantopayogitvenapi drashtavyam. According to the Bhakti Siddhanta, it is to be analyzed that because Narayana constantly chanted his son's name Narayana, he was elevated to the platform of bhakti, although he did not know it. Similarly, Srila Viraraghavacharya gives this opinion. Evam vartamanaha sadvijaha mrityukale upasthite satyagnyo narayanakhye putra eva matim chakara matim asaktam akarod iti arthaha. Although at the time of death he was chanting the name of his son, he nevertheless concentrated his mind upon the holy name of Narayana. Srila Vijayadhwaj Tirtha gives a similar opinion. Mrityukale deha viyoga lakshanakale Mrityoho sarva dosha papa harasya harer anugrahat kale datta jnana lakshane upasthite hridi prakashite hraniye purna jnane bale panchavarsha kalpe pradesh matre narayana hoye murti visheshe matim smarana samartham chittam sukara bhaktya smarat iti arthaha. Directly or indirectly, Ajamil factually remembered Narayana at the time of death. Ante Narayana Smriti. So Vijayadhwaj Tirtha here is saying that his son was 5 years old. That information we now receive. I don't think I've ever heard that before. His son was 5 years old. Anyone ever heard that? That's how old he was. Panchavarshe. Panchavarshkalpe. And it was by the mercy of Lord Hari that although he was thinking of his son, still somehow or other, he was able to concentrate his mind on Narayana. Prabhupada is pretty clear in this purport that Ajamo factually remembered Narayana at the time of death, and it's because he had worshipped this same Narayana when he was young. Even though we are hearing two different things here. We're hearing number one that he is concentrating his mind on his son rather than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we're also hearing that he factually concentrated his mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead even though he was calling his son. So how do we reconcile this? That information we're not given yet. But because the name of Krishna is not different from Krishna, even though we're not thinking consciously of the Supreme Personality of Godhead when we recite the name or when we hear the name of Narayana, we are in fact remembering Narayana when we simply by hearing the name of Narayana or chanting the name of Narayana. And similarly, while we're chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, we may not have full realization that the Lord is not different from his name, but we are in touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not by dint of our own efforts, but by dint of the divine grace of the Lord. Because we're chanting under the, under the auspices of a pure devotee, a sponsor, who can actually bring us into the spiritual world. Therefore, our chanting is accepted. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada mentions that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited Kashi, Varanasi, he was seeing so many Mayavadis were there, and they were chanting indirectly. They were chanting various names of the Lord. For example, Vibhu, Ishwara, Chaitanya. These are not necessarily sons. These are not necessarily names of the son of Yashoda or Shyamsundar, but they are names, bona fide names of God. So how is it that these Mayavadis were not becoming purified by that chanting? And Srila Prabhupada comments there that actually they did not come in contact with the holy name, even though they're chanting it. So it's possible to chant the holy name and yet not chant the holy name at the same time. And it's also possible to chant the holy name and not think of Krishna and yet still think of Krishna while you're chanting. So the real effective agency here is divine grace. When we are working under the sponsorship of a pure devotee who's giving his blessings, yasya prasadad bhagavat prasado, yasya prasadan nagati kutopi. They did not have the Lord's mercy, the Mayavadis of Kashi, neither did they have the mercy of the Lord's devotee. Until they met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course, then he gave them his mercy. That was, you can say, Kripa Siddha. Even though they had not really, they had been offenders. Mayavadis are definitely offenders at the lotus feet of Lord Krishna because they claim that his form and his name and his pastimes and his entourage and paraphernalia, etc., etc., are all basically mundane. They say that his form, his name, etc., these things are all transformations of sattva guna. But we know that sattva guna, although it's better than the other gunas, it's still mundane. So this is the offense of the Mayavadis. And so they were actually disqualified, and yet somehow or other, by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, they were also delivered. So that's our saving grace. We don't necessarily have pure devotional attitude. We're not, we don't really have bhakti samskars, most of us. And we're certainly not coming from Golok Vrindavan, at least most of us aren't. And so if we have any hope of really chanting the pure name of Krishna, Shuddhanam, as opposed to offensive holy name, chanting the holy name offensively or chanting namabhasa, a dim reflection of the holy name. It's because we've been given this ideal by our spiritual master, and we are working under his guidance. So there's more that can be said about this, much, much more, but we will hear it in the coming days. I was going to say a few words about Bahulashtami, because today is the appearance day of Radhakund. I was told, by Omkar Prabhu that nobody wants to give this class because it's very difficult to really adequately glorify Sri Radhakund or to say anything from realization about it. But we do have the empowered words of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, in various places within his books, and we can take advantage of those instructions today. So I'll try to read from those, as opposed to any of the other things that we could read about this topic, because everyone knows there are many things, many narrations available about such exalted topics, but they're not necessarily so transparent and powerful as the words of the pure devotee. That's one reason. Another reason is that we don't read these things enough, or at least I don't read them enough, and even if we do, or even though I do, I don't understand them. So, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, first of all, before we go on to reading what Srila Prabhupada has written, there is a purport here in the 10th canto, chapter 36, which is describing the slaying of the Arishta demon in Vrindavan. And there Sri Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has quoted 20 verses from the Puranas. He doesn't say which Puranas he's quoting. I checked. So we don't know that. But it describes the origin of Sri Radhakund. So I'll just read that first of all. This is again 10th canto, chapter 36, text number 16. This is from the purport. And from the Puranas, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has quoted 20 verses describing a joking conversation between Radha and Krishna that took place after Krishna had killed the demon Arishta. This conversation, so kindly quoted by the Acharya, describes the origin of Radhakund and Shyamkund, Radha and Krishna's bathing ponds. The verses are as follows. In the interest of saving time, I'm going to skip the Sanskrit. The innocent young gopi said, "Ah, Krishna, don't touch us now, O killer of a bull." Even though Arishta was a terrible demon, still he was a male cow, and so you will have to undergo atonement, just as Lord Indra did after killing Vritrasura. But how can you purify yourself without going to the trouble of visiting every single holy place in the three worlds? Krishna then replied, "Why should I have to wander throughout the entire universe? I will at once bring all the countless pilgrimage places here and take bath in them. Just watch." With this, Lord Mukunda struck his heel on the ground. Then he said, "This is the water of the Bhogavati River coming from the Patala region. And now, O holy places, all of you, please come here." When the Supreme Lord had spoken these words, all the holy places went there and appeared before him. Krishna then addressed the gopis as follows, "See all the holy places." But the gopis replied, "We don't see them as you describe." Then those best of the holy places, joining their palms in supplication, spoke up, "I am the saltwater ocean." Another one said, "I'm the ocean of milk. I'm the Amara Dirkika. I'm the river Shona. I'm the river Sindhu, I'm the Tamrapani, I'm the holy place Pushkar, I'm the river Saraswati, and we are the Godavari, Yamuna, and Reva rivers, and confluence of rivers at Prayag. Just see all of our waters." After purifying himself by bathing, Lord Hari became quite arrogant and said, "I have produced a pond containing all the various holy places, whereas you gopis must never have executed any religious duties on this earth for the pleasure of Lord Brahma." Lord Brahma's sole holy place is Pushkara, and we don't have any record that the gopis ever went there, therefore Krishna is saying this. Can everyone understand what's happening so far? The gopis are claiming that Krishna has become contaminated by killing a bull. And notwithstanding the fact that that bull happened to be an asura disguised as a bull. So they were joking, they were playing with him in this way. And so Krishna, calling their bluff, he decided that he'll bring all the holy rivers, which he did, and then he bathed in those holy rivers. But he accused the gopis that, I've bathed at Pushkar, but you have not. So, then Srimati Radharani addressed her girlfriends as follows. I must create an even more beautiful pond. So go to work. Having heard these words, the gopis saw that Arishtasura's hooves had dug a shallow ditch just west of Krishna's pond. At that nearby spot, all the gopis began digging up lumps of soft mud with their hands. And in this way, a divine pond manifested in the short span of an hour. Krishna was astonished to see the lake they produced. He said, go ahead, lotus-eyed one. You and your companions should fill this pond with water from mine. But Radha replied, no, 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 no. This is impossible, since the water of your pond is contaminated by your terrible sin of killing a cow. I will have my countless gopi companions bring the pure water of the Mansi Ganga here in billions of pots. In this way, I will fill this lake with my own water and make its renown unequaled in the entire world. Lord Krishna then gestured to a heavenly personality who was an intimate associate of all the holy places. Suddenly, that person rose up out of Krishna's pond and bowed down to the daughter of Sri Vrishabhanu, Srimati Radharani. Then, with palms joined and tears pouring from his eyes, he began praying to her in devotion. Devi Padiya Mahimanam Aveti Sarva Shastrarthaving Nachavidhir Naharo Na Lakshmihi Kintweka Eva Purushartha Shiromani Swat Prasveda Marjana Paraha Swayam Eva Krishnaha. O Goddess, even Brahma, Lord Brahma himself, the knower of all scriptures, cannot understand your glories, nor can Lord Shiva or Lakshmi. Only Krishna, the supreme goal of all human endeavor, can understand them, and thus he feels obliged to personally make sure that you can wash away your perspiration when you are fatigued. He is always anointing your lotus feet with a nectarian charu and yavaka and decorating them with ankle bells. He rejoices and feels most fortunate simply by satisfying the tips of the toes of your lotus feet. On his order, we have immediately come here to live in this most excellent pond, which he created by one stroke of his heel. But only if you now feel satisfied with us and bestow upon us your merciful glance, will the tree of our desire bear fruit. Hearing this prayer spoken by the representative of the full assembly of holy places, Srimati Radharani was pleased and said, so kindly tell me your desire. They then told her plainly, our lives would be successful if we could come to your pond. This is the benediction we desire. Glancing at her beloved from the corner of her eyes, the daughter of Vrishabhanu, Srimati Radharani, replied with a smile, please come. Her gopi companions all agreed with her decision and became immersed in the ocean of happiness. Indeed, the beauty of all creatures, both mobile and stationary, was enhanced. Thus, gaining the grace of Srimati Radharani, the holy rivers and lakes in Sri Krishna Kund, that's better known as Shyam Kund, forcibly broke through its boundary walls and swiftly filled Radha Kund with their waters. Lord Hari then said, my dear Radha, may this pond of yours become even more world-renowned than mine. I will always come here to bathe and to enjoy my water pastimes. Indeed, this lake is as dear to me as you are. Srimati Radharani replied, I will come to bathe in your pond as well, even though you may kill hundreds of Arishta demons here. In the future, anyone who has intense devotion for this lake, which is on the spot where you chastised Arishtasura, and who bathes or resides here, is sure to become very dear to me. That night, Lord Krishna initiated a dasa dance at Radha Kund, generating a torrent of the greatest mood of splendorous pleasure. Sri Krishna resembled a cloud and Srimati Radharani a brilliant flash of lightning. permeated the expanses of the three worlds. As a final note, that's all we need to do this. Then he goes back into the description of the killing of Arishtasura from the Srimad Bhagavatam. So that's from Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, as quoted in the Srimad Bhagavatam by Hridayananda Goswami and Gopi Paranandana Prabhu. In Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, we have the description of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's rediscovery of Radhakund in the 16th century. And it's a very brief discussion, so I'll just read the few verses that describe that. This is from the Madhya Lila, chapter 18, and we begin with text number 3 of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced in ecstasy, but when he arrived at Aritgram, his sense perception was awakened. Purport. Aritgram is also called Arishtagram. I think now it's called Aring. I'm not sure. I don't remember. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understood that in that village, Arishtasura was killed by Sri Krishna. While there, he inquired about Radhakund, but no one could tell him where it was. The Brahmana accompanying him could not ascertain its whereabouts. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could then understand that the holy places known as Radhakund and Shyamakund were at that time lost to everyone's vision. He therefore discovered Radhakund and Shyamakund, which were two reservoirs of water in two paddy fields. Although there was very little water, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was omniscient and could understand that formerly these two ponds were called Sri Radhakund and Shyamakund. In this way, Radhakund and Shyamakund were discovered. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked the local people, "Where is Radhakund?" No one could inform him, and the Brahmana accompanying him did not know either. The Lord then understood that the holy place called Radhakund was no longer visible. However, being the omniscient personality of God, he discovered Radhakund and Shyamakund in two paddy fields. There was only a little water, but he took his bath there. When the people of the village saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taking his bath in those two ponds in the middle of the paddy fields, they were very astonished. The Lord then offered his prayers to Sri Radhakund. Of all the gopis, Srimati Radharani is the dear most. Similarly, the lake known as Radhakund is very dear to the Lord because it is very dear to Srimati Radharani. Yatha radha priya vishno stasya kundam priyam tatha sarva gopishu saivaika vishnur atyanta vallabha. Srimati Radharani is most dear to Lord Krishna, and her lake, known as Radhakund, is also very dear to him. Of all the gopis, Srimati Radharani is certainly the most beloved. Purport. This is a verse from the Padma Purana. In that lake, Lord Krishna and Srimati Radharani used to sport daily in the water and have a rasa dance on the bank. Indeed, Lord Krishna gives ecstatic love like that of Srimati Radharani to whoever bathes in that lake even once in this life. The attraction of Radhakund is as sweet as that of Srimati Radharani. Similarly, the glories of the Kunda are as glorious as Srimati Radharani. And then he's quoting a verse here, Krishnadas Kaviraj. He says, Sri Radheva Harestadiya Sarasi Preshtad Bhutai Swayar Gunai Yasyam Sri Yutamadhavendu Ranijam Prityataya Kriyarati Premasmin Bhataradhike Valabhate Yasyam Sakrit Snanakrit Tasya Vai Mahima Tatha Mudhrima Kenastu Varanyah Kshitao. Because of his wonderful transcendental qualities, Radhakund is as dear to Krishna as Srimati Radharani. It was in that lake that the all-opulent Lord Sri Krishna performed his pastimes with Srimati Radharani with great pleasure and transcendental bliss. Whoever bathes just once in Radhakund attains Srimati Radharani's loving attraction for Sri Krishna. Who within this world can describe the glories and sweetness of Sri Radhakund? Continuing the narration here. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thus offered prayers to Radhakund. Overwhelmed by ecstatic love, he danced on the bank, remembering the pastimes Lord Krishna performed on the bank of Radhakund. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then marked his body with tilak made from the mud of Radhakund, and with the help of Balabhadra Acharya, he collected some of the mud and took it with him. And after that, he went to Sumana Lake, which is better known as Kusum Sarovar. at Govardhan. So that's from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Finally, we have a few verses in the Nectar of Instruction, Upadeshamrita, of Srila Rupa Goswami, beginning with text 9. He says, I'm going to skip the Sanskrit because it's getting late. The holy place known as Mathura is spiritually superior to Vaikuntha, the transcendental world, because the Lord appeared there. Superior to Mathurapuri is the transcendental forest of Vrindavan, because of Krishna's Rasa-lila pastimes. And superior to the forest of Vrindavan is Govardhana Hill, for it was raised by the divine hand of Sri Krishna and was the site of his various loving pastimes. And above all, the super excellent Sri Radha Kund stands supreme, for it is over flooded with the ambrosial nectarian prema of the Lord of Gokula, Sri Krishna. Where then is that intelligent person who is unwilling to serve this divine Radha Kund, which is situated at the foot of Govardhan Hill? And in his purport, Srila Prabhupada is paraphrasing what we've just read from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, so I'll go on to the next verse. Rupa Goswami continues. He says, in the Shastra, it is said that of all types of fruitive workers, he who is advanced in knowledge of the higher values of life is favored by the Supreme Lord Hari. Out of many, many such people who are advanced in knowledge, or jnanis, one who is practically liberated by virtue of his knowledge may take to devotional service. He is superior to the others. However, one who has actually attained prema, pure love for Krishna, is superior to him. The gopis are exalted above all the advanced devotees, because they are always totally dependent upon Sri Krishna, the transcendental cowherd boy. Among the gopis, Srimati Radharani is the most dear to Krishna. Her kunda, or lake, is as profoundly dear to Lord Krishna as is this most beloved of the gopis. Who, then, will not reside at Radhakund and in the spiritual body surcharged with ecstatic devotional feelings, a prakriti bhav, render loving service to the divine couple, Sri Sri Radha Govinda, who perform their Ashtakaliya Lila, their eternal eightfold daily pastimes? Indeed, those who execute devotional service on the banks of Radhakund are the most fortunate people in the universe. And in his purport, Prabhupada is explaining how amongst all those who are performing fruitive activities, one who has finally become fed up with the futility of those activities, he cultivates knowledge. And of all those who are full in knowledge, the person who's actually liberated by dint of that knowledge is superior. And among those, the one whose knowledge is matured becomes a devotee, and he's best of all. And among the devotees, the gopis are the best of all the devotees. And among the gopis, Srimati Radharani is the best, and her kund is as exalted as she is. And he quotes the same verse that we just heard, actually, from the Padma Purana in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Prabhupada concludes, therefore, everyone interested in Krishna consciousness should ultimately take shelter of Radha Kund and execute devotional service there throughout one's life. This is the conclusion of Rupa Goswami in the 10th verse of Upadeshamrita. Finally, in the final verse of this work, he says, of the many objects of favored delight and of all the lovable damsels of Rajabhumi, Srimati Radharani is certainly the most treasured object of Krishna's love. And in every respect, her divine kund is described by great sages as similarly dear to him. Undoubtedly, Radha Kund is rarely attained even by the great devotees. Therefore, it is even more difficult for ordinary devotees to attain. If one simply bathes once within those holy waters, one's pure love of Krishna is fully aroused. Purport. Why is Radha Kund so exalted? The lake is so exalted because it belongs to Srimati Radharani, who is the most beloved object of Sri Krishna. Among all the gopis, she is the most beloved. Similarly, her lake, Sri Radha Kund, is also described by great sages as the lake that is as dear to Krishna as Radha herself. Indeed, Krishna's love for Radha Kund and Srimati Radharani is the same in all respects. Radha Kund is very rarely attained, even by the great personalities fully engaged in devotional service, not to speak of ordinary devotees who are only engaged in the practice of Vaidhi Bhakti. It is stated that a devotee will at once develop pure love of Krishna in the wake of the gopis if he once takes bath in Radhakund. Srila Rupa Goswami recommends that even if one cannot live permanently on the banks of Radhakund, he should at least take bath in the lake as many times as possible. This is a most important item in the execution of devotional service. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes in this connection that Sri Radhakund is the most select place for those interested in advancing their devotional service in the wake of the lady friends or sakis and confidential serving maids, manjaris, of Srimati Radharani. Living entities who are eager to return home to the transcendental kingdom of God, Golok Vrindavan, by means of attaining their spiritual bodies, or Siddha Deha, should live at Radhakund, take shelter of the confidential serving maids of Sri Radha, and under their direction, engage constantly in her service. This is the most exalted method for those engaged in devotional service under the protection of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In this connection, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes that even great sages and great devotees like Narad and Sanaka do not get an opportunity to come to Radhakund to take their baths. What then to speak of ordinary devotees? If by great fortune one gets an opportunity to come to Radhakund and bathe even once, he can develop his transcendental love for Krishna, exactly as the gopis did. It is also recommended that one should live on the banks of Radhakund and one should be absorbed in the loving service of the Lord. One should bathe there regularly and give up all material conceptions, taking shelter of Sri Radha and her assistant gopis. If one is thus constantly engaged during this lifetime, after giving up the body, he will return back to Godhead and serve Sri Radha in the same way as he contemplated during his life on the banks of Radhakund. The conclusion is that to live on the banks of Radhakund and to bathe there daily constitute the highest perfection of devotional service. It is a difficult position to attain, for even for great sages and devotees like Narad. Thus, there is no limit to the glory of Sri Radhakund. By serving Radhakund, one can get the opportunity to become an assistant of Srimati Radharani under the eternal guidance of the gopis. That is the end of Srila Prabhupada's Nectar of Instruction. Now, having heard all this, having said all this, Srila Prabhupada is famous for having said, having instructed us, first deserve, then desire. We're hearing these emphatic instructions from Srila Prabhupada and also from Srila Rupa Goswami about how one should perfect his devotional life by residing at Radhakund and executing devotional service there in terms of Raganuga Bhakti. But this is not so easy to do. And those of us who have not controlled our minds and our senses and who have not become advanced beyond the bodily concept of life, we're actually unable to do this. Therefore, we practice devotional service with that ideal in mind, with that goal in mind, under the careful guidance of a bona fide spiritual master who can gauge our progress and give us adequate instructions as need be. So, and Srila Prabhupada also, it's said that at one point, ISKCON devotees were going to Sri Radhakund, and they were jumping and splashing and playing in the waters frivolously. And when Srila Prabhupada found out about this, he forbade devotees, he prohibited the ISKCON devotees from going there and bathing again. He said, instead, you can go and take 3 drops on your forehead instead. It's not a good idea to touch one's feet even to those sacred waters. It's like touching your feet to the deity of Srimati Radharani. Nobody would want to do that. And so there are many devotees who very respectfully take the bath in Radhakund and get the same credit simply by taking the water upon their heads and not touching their feet to those holy waters. So if this is the fact for most of us, then what to speak of the qualifications that are required for actually living there, as some very fortunate souls do, and executing devotional service. When we advance beyond the bodily concept of life, and when we understand the confidential teachings of the Goswamis about this, about how to actually serve Srimati Radharani and her maidservants and their friends, then there will be any question of residing on the bank of Radha Kund, daily bathing in her waters, and executing Raghunuga Bhakti with the aim of entering into the Ashtakaliya Lila, as Prabhupada has mentioned in these purports. Until that time, we have to very carefully, as the Bhagavatam says, as Krishna tells Uddhava in the 11th canto, Sway swayatikare ya nishtha sa guna parikirtita. It is considered to be a qualification if one acts according to his real capacity, does not do less than what he's capable of doing, and does not attempt more than he's capable of doing. That's called guna. And to attempt anything else, that's called dosha. Now, what does the word guna mean? It means many things, but in this case it means quality. Quality as opposed to flaw. Dosha means a flaw. So again, this is another way of saying first deserve, then desire. So there are many, many more things we can say, both about today's Bhagavatam verse and about the glories of Sri Radha Kund and her appearance in this world. But I think it's getting too late now, so we'll stop. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Jirtakarma Prabhu.
Circumambulated Govardhan Hill at night, and then you come to Radha Kund, and at midnight, I think it is.
Shortly before midnight.
Have an arati, and you offer candles to the, flames to the Radha Kund, and they float beyond Radha Kund, and then take bath, and then it said that Lord Chaitanya rediscovered Radha Kund and Shama Kund, and that's an example of what I call transcendental archaeology. Lord Chaitanya and the Goswamis, they were transcendental archaeologists, rediscovering these lost sites and deities and things like that. But it's said in different shastras that after Krishna disappeared, his grandson or great-grandson, Vajranaba, was king of Vrindavan, the Vrindavan area, and he was shown by different sages these lost places of Krishna's pastime. So he built temples, installed deities, and he actually developed Radha Kund and Shama Kund as pilgrimage places, but then over time they were lost. So by the time Lord Chaitanya got there, he couldn't find anyone who could tell them where they were. It's interesting that he started his search at Arishtagram, mm-hmm. near the place where Arishta was killed, because of that connection between Radha Kund and the pastime of Krishna killing the Arishta bull demon. But it's interesting that every 20 years or so they drain the water from Radha Kund and Shama Kund, and when they do, you can see in the bottom the foundations of other ghats that were built there,
and they previous say families.
They say that those were the Radha Kund and Shama Kund that were developed by King Vajranaba 5,000 years ago.
So. Yeah, that's right. Radha Kund, it's called Kanchana Kund, and in Shama Kund there's another one that's a little bigger. It's called Kali Kund. So that's true. Vajranaba came and renovated, built ghats and masonry steps, everything he put there. Later on, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rediscovered it, and Raghunath Das Goswami, who lived there on the banks of Radha Kund, he also renovated and expanded it even beyond the borders of which Vajranaba had done. And every once in a while they do drain the kunds. They did it just a couple of, maybe three, four years ago, I think. They did it again. And again last year they did. So, that's a good point. Every Bahula Ashtami, generally they bathe at 11:45, because That is said to be the time that Krishna finished creating Shyamkund. And then they all took bath. Otherwise, nobody generally, they don't take bath at that hour. It's forbidden to take bath at night in a holy place. But in this is one exception. Unfortunately, many materialistic people come there nowadays on Bahulashtami. If you go there to bathe, it's mostly young couples seeking to have a son. And they're coming and bathing in Radhakund with that prarthana. And they have this idea that if you throw a pumpkin into Radhakund, then you'll get your male child. And so Radhakund and Shyamkund are completely polluted with floating, broken, smashed pumpkins the next morning. It's kind of a problem. We can thank our friends who post the glories of Radhakund all over the internet for that, I suppose, because that helps to popularize it and bring all these Diliwalas to Radhakund with whatever their motives are. It's really it's an expanding thing now. I remember when I was at Govardhan, especially on the Purnima of Guru Purnima, Sanatana Goswami's anniversary day. Many thousands and thousands of people come and walk around Govardhan Hill, but it's more or less like a family picnic sort of mood. You see people walking the family dog around Govardhan and chatting with their friends and sipping Coca-Cola. And, you know, then they go and stay in the condominiums that have been built there on the side of Govardhan, and they watch television at night. So this is a bit of a problem. But by preaching pure Krishna consciousness and by urging the kind of caution that Srila Prabhupada generally did with his disciples, at least, hopefully we can stop the contamination, the materialism that has seeped into the holy dham, at least to external vision. Internally, the sanctity of these places can never be violated. But nonetheless, it's a fact that businesses all the way up and down the Ganga and the Yamuna are throwing so many pollutants into those holy rivers. And I was thinking this morning, we have this mantra that we chant, Gange cha yamune chaiva godavari saraswati narmada sindho kaveri jalesmin samnitim kuru. Sindhu River, practically speaking, has disappeared, because there's almost nobody now offers any respect to the Sindhu River, which is almost wholly within the borders of Pakistan. So they don't even believe that it's a holy river, and if they did, they would try to defile it just to spite the river, because that's their mood. But anyway, these are some of the symptoms of Kali Yuga. Everything is becoming less and less manifest because of the offenses that people commit. So we should be very careful when we go to Radhakund, and I would recommend just taking a bath by putting some drops on the head. It seems that Prabhupada was also very cautious in that way. So, anything else? Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.